Welcome, you sexy goddess, to The Sweetest Little Life. I am your host, Courtney Hansen. I'm an author, yogi, Reiki master, and hypnotherapist specializing in trauma. My passion is to bring you wisdom each week with amazing guests to spark integration of all parts of yourself, to nurture your spirit, stimulate the mind, and love your body just a little bit more with each episode that drops. If you love this podcast and want more amazing resources for spiritual growth and holistic healing, make sure to download our app, The Sweetest Little Life, or head to the website, thesweetestlittlelife.com. Grab your favorite cup of tea or throw on your yoga pants and head for a walk while we hang out for the next 30 minutes of soul-to-soul connection. Hello and happy Tuesday. I just got back from our Shasta retreat. And I'm feeling oh so alive, getting away and tapping into that deep, deep trauma work and release and watching men and women completely transform their lives and do the work is one of the most rewarding parts of my career for sure. I just sat in reflection this morning of all that happened. When you're in it, there's so much adrenaline and there's so many moving parts and so much busyness. So I always like to take the day after and just sit and think. And I'm in just gratitude today. And I want to encourage you to take that stillness and tap into all the things that are working in your life. It's easy to focus on the one thing that's not working when we have 82 things that are thriving and going exactly the way they are supposed to go. Today we have a really special conversation with Laura West, who is a registered nurse. She's an author, she's an energy healer, she's a psychic medium, and she is the former TV host of Life from the Other Side on the Women's Television Network. She also has her own podcast, A Guided Life. And today we're talking about a lot of spiritual connection, about tapping into your own intuition and how you access that channel to the other side. I know that you're going to get so much out of this. And as the seasons change, we just hit the fall equinox. It's time to plant those seeds. It's time to really look at what was harvested and get ready for a new round. It's time to go within. Meditation has changed my life. When people ask me what is the one thing that you suggest to help me balance, help me find myself, the first thing I always say is meditation. It's learning to sit with yourself. However, sometimes having a guide is a game changer. I recently found the Meditation Network for Women, and it has been so helpful, and they have so many options. One of my favorite times to meditate is at night. It's the time where my kids are in bed. I can just have that time to reflect on my day. And there is an amazing meditation that I've been jamming out to lately called the Sleep Meditation for Women. You can tap into it if you're having insomnia, if your mind's racing. Our minds get pretty active. First thing in the morning, that inner mean girl comes out, and then right before bed when we get into that theta state. Your meditations are super digestible. They're 20 to 30 minutes long. And they have so many different topics, from body healing and relaxation to forgiveness and letting go. If you're interested, I highly encourage you to head on over to the Women's Meditation Network and listen to their podcast totally free. Start tapping in and finding what your flow is within meditation. Laura, welcome to The Sweetest Little Life. I cannot wait for our conversation today. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so well. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I love to kick off the show and hear who you are and your story. I used to do like these lengthy introductions, and they just weren't the same when they don't come. Who are you? Tell us how you got doing the work you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the short version to start with is I am a registered nurse. I'm a psychic medium, author, podcast host, but I'm also a mother and a wife. daughter, sister, et cetera. So that's sort of me in a nutshell. The longer version that sort of encompasses all of that would be that I have been really driven to share and talk more about things related to spirituality. So I still work full-time as a registered nurse for a healthcare organization in my local area. But I also really love to incorporate all things spirit, not only in my life, but helping others as well, whether it's through readings, whether it's through my podcast also, which is called A Guided Life. So that's where I'm at this moment. Leading up to that, I had what I call spiritual awakening number one happened in my late teens, where I picked up Sylvia Brown books for the first time. And she was a psychic medium who wrote tons of books about spirituality, the other side, spirit guides, angels, etc. And her books just really, really spoke to me. And so that was around the time I met my spirit guide in a dream for the first time. And I was just really hungry for more. And that's what I call spiritual awakening number one. And then since that time, I did the human thing. I went to school, had a family, bought a house, all that good stuff to, I guess, really get myself grounded and to set a nice, comfortable foundation so I wouldn't have to worry about those sorts of things, so that I could then have my spiritual awakening number two, which happened starting in 2019 when I meditated for the first time and started to meditate on a very consistent basis. And between spiritual awakening number one and spiritual awakening number two, I had a lot of experiences, psychic experiences. I mean, I guess paranormal, but to me, they were just like visitations from spirit, whether it was through dreams or in that in between asleep and awake state before going to bed or before waking up in the morning, having lots of strong spirit interactions. None of it was ever scary, but it was just noteworthy. And then spiritual awakening number two happened when I started meditating more. And that's when things just really took off. I started to dabble with channel writing, which led to me meeting more spirit guides. It led to me channeling for others, led to me looking into mediumship and actually talking to people who have passed along with guides and ancestors and angels and whoever. And that then led to me really honing in on my intuition to then go into energy healing, to then write a book about spirituality, to then create this card deck and to contribute to different journals and things like that internationally and locally, or nationally as well, I suppose. And then to finally start my podcast, I had a little stint of hosting a TV show on the Everyday Women TV network. So just really busy putting, spreading the word of love and doing it in ways that feel really good and are very much intuitively guided, because that's the only way that I would have energy to do any of it. So that's where I'm at today.
I love that. Wow. So much. So are you still nursing too?
I am. Yes. Full time.
Busy woman.
I know.
Doing all the things.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. So I would love to talk about when you started channeling. I know in the audience, we have a lot of people who are getting started on their spiritual journey or active practitioners now in the healing world, right? What did that look like for you to start channeling? Can you tell me about your first experience?
Yes. Well, I will say that when I first started channeling, I actually had no idea that that's what I was doing. I had gone back to school to get my bachelor's of science degree in nursing at the time. And I have other friends, where there's a bunch of us that are Scorpios, and we had the Scorpio party, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
I love Scorpios.
I know. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
I'm a Pisces.
Are you?
Yeah.
I love it. So I was back at school, but it had been, I mean, there was a pretty long stint between when I got my license and when I got my other bachelor's degree to when I went back to school to get my bachelor's in nursing degree. And I was actually really worried about writing papers. That was actually part of what took me so long to go back, because I just was really concerned about the paper writing part. It had just been so long. And when I went back to school and I was writing these papers and I'm thinking, gosh, this is actually not that bad. The words are coming to me quickly. I'm getting really good grades on my papers. This is great. And so we have this Scorpio party and I'm about, I don't know, halfway through my program, and we invite a psychic to the party. And this was before I was doing anything with anybody. I was not practicing psychic mediumship. I was still just starting to meditate. I was dabbling. I was very much grounded going, you know, I was in back in college again. And so I was speaking to this psychic and she says, "You're writing a lot, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "Do you know that you're channel writing?" She says, "You may think that you're doing a really good job with your writing and you may, you know, pat yourself on the back, but know that your information is actually coming from the other side, or spirit," or however she worded it. And I was just like, what? My mind was blown. Ooh. I'm like, that makes so much sense. So that's when I realized I was already channel writing without realizing it. So I took that information from that party and I said, well, I'm channel writing without realizing it. What would happen if I did it intentionally? So I just started by asking simple questions. I don't think I started with closed-ended questions. They were still open-ended, but they were just like one question at a time. Asking like, you know, what signs is my grandmother leaving me? I guess that's kind of a closed-ended question. But anyways, so I was just asking simple questions and starting that way and just kind of trying it out and seeing how it goes. And I had this journal that I was sort of keeping track of all of my experiences in already, because another psychic told me to do that. So I was already starting to keep track of everything. And that's how I started channel writing intentionally, because when I did that, the information that came through was like, what? And I could feel the difference. Feel the difference, notice the difference in how the words were coming almost from like an outside source, but they were still in my mind voice. It's almost like if you're reading a book silently, how the words aren't yours, but it's still your voice in your mind. So it was like that for me with channel writing, where the words were popping into my mind. And that's what I did. I said, I'm just going to write what comes. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to analyze it. I'm not going to judge it until I'm done. And that was probably one of the best things that I could do, because you don't want to get out of that flow or that frame of mind to stop those words from coming in. And so then that's how I did it. And eventually it progressed to, you know, longer paragraphs, more pages, practicing with other people, with their guides or members of their soul team to pass on messages. And that led to other things.
Wow. So it was really like a breadcrumb type experience.
Oh, 100%. Everything.
Talking to someone about that this morning, you know, I feel they're like, well, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? I was like, you just follow the breadcrumbs. Like whatever pops up that aligns, feels it, like do that.
Exactly. 100%. And you'll know when it happens.
Exactly.
Like you just know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense during. You're just like, here I am.
Yes. And I know for me, when it's a breadcrumb, because I get excited about it. If I get excited to want to try something or I think about it a lot, then that's how I know it's something that I need to move forward with and that it becomes a breadcrumb. Usually in retrospect, it's easier to tell that it was a breadcrumb versus in the midst of it. But that's how I know for myself that I meant to do the next thing, because I get very excited about it and kind of get all in.
Touch on that, actually, how to lean into that emotion of excitement, what that does for our bodies and intuition.
Yes. But yes.
I think I just got our topic. Look at that. I knew,
you know,
it would
come. Yeah. Like digging it. There it is. Okay. We just followed the breadcrumbs to it. So anyway, yeah. It's one thing to want to do something. You get excited about it and want to do it. It's another layer to then do it. I think that there are many times, I know for myself at least, where something sounds like a great idea. I sound excited. I'm excited about doing it, but then life gets busy. I don't get to it. And then that feeling sort of fades away. So, but then there are many other times where I got very excited about something. I got an idea in my head. Thank you, guides, to do something. And then I do it. And then it's what comes from doing it that happens. A good example is when I wrote my book or started writing my book. So I had, up until the time I started writing my book, I mean, I had thought of the idea of writing a book would be cool, but it also sounded very daunting and overwhelming. And me thinking, you know, well, what do I have to say that's going to fill a book? And who's going to want to read it? And is this even something I'm interested in putting the energy into? So it wasn't really something that I was even toying with until I went to visit a psychic here locally to just kind of check in. This was before I was doing my own readings. And she told me that she sees me writing a book. And I said, well, that's an interesting idea. Okay, I'll just, you know, I'll sit with it and see what happens. I kind of wasn't really feeling it, not really into it. And then I was talking to another dear friend of mine. She's also a nurse. She led me into energy healing. So she's also very spiritual as well. And on a whole different occasion, maybe, I don't know, a month later, asked me if I'm writing all of my experiences down because she sees me writing a book. And I was tuned in enough to take notice that, okay, this has now become a sign. I know my guys are trying to tell me they want me to write a book because two different people on two separate occasions who don't know each other said the same thing to me. So I took it as what it was. It was my sign to do it. And as soon as I said, okay, I will do it, I couldn't wait to get started. It was like the floodgates opened and the motivation came running in, and I grabbed my laptop right away to get started. So by saying yes to an idea, though at the time I wasn't very excited about it, but once I said yes, I got very excited about it. So that's kind of one example of perhaps a breadcrumb, or at least seeing when spirit is leaving you these little signs to kind of guide you in the right direction using the breadcrumbs like Hansel and Gretel.
Mm. And I feel like when you're in alignment, you just know it too, right? Like all of these pieces.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, whoa, I don't know what's happening right now.
100%. 100%. I'm like, I know I'm learning about crystals, or I'm learning about card decks, or I'm learning about this or that. I don't know why I'm learning about all this stuff, but I'm sure there's a purpose for it down the road. And it does happen to reveal itself, you know, in time, but it does, it's like having a bunch of tools in your tool belt.
Right. Now you do mediumship too, right?
I do. Yes.
Tell me about your first experience with that. Did it scare you, or were you like, what is happening?
Well, so there are a couple of first experiences. So I would say my first experiences with mediumship, which I didn't really realize that's what it was I would have a lot of visitations from spirit, either in my dream state, mm-hmm. which felt very safe and not scary, or in that space between asleep and awake. And a lot of these experiences were with family members or with the family pet as well. So it was not very, it was not scary at all. And I'm a scaredy cat. So I think they knew they had to do that way. So I would say my initial experiences with mediumship were, again, unintentional, but not scary, very, very loving, very comforting experiences, giving some closure or that feeling of they're still here with us. So those experiences happened initially. And then there was the experience of, okay, I'm going to intentionally practice mediumship and connect to people who have passed. Because I got to a point where I wanted to be awake and I wanted to be more in control of when I connected with that. It was just at random in my dreams, whenever it felt like spirit needed to come through, but I wanted to be more in control of that as well. And I wanted it to happen more frequently, to be honest. So I was scared, but channeling helped me to be less scared because I used very similar techniques to how I channel to connect to people's spirits or souls who have crossed over. So I have my spirit guide. His name is Jason. I have him there right next to me all the time because I built this relationship of trust with him. I feel very safe with him. So I know that no harm will come to me when I have him there with me. And I just made sure that he was sort of the, I guess, liaison between myself and the spirit that I wanted to bring forth to speak with. And so that's how I started that whole thing. And the way that I practiced that was actually through this Facebook group. It was like a psychic mediumship development group that I just happened to follow the breadcrumb and look for on Facebook at the time. Because I was curious, but I was a little bit scared, but I was very curious and I was starting to get excited about the idea. So I knew I was being intuitively guided to do it. And when I realized that connecting with spirit is just like I do when I connect with guides or angels, even goddesses and ETs and all sorts of beings on the other side, it's very similar. And because I've already sort of set this precedence that I only work in love and light, and I'm only allowing high vibrational, not only beings, but those who have myself and the sitter's interest at their best interest at heart. So I've already sort of created this safe space to not allow low vibing energies in because I just don't want to deal with them. So doing these practices where I'm like, okay, I'm doing everything I can to protect myself. I still want to do this. I've got Jason here with me. Let's just see what comes through. And so in this Facebook developmental group, people will post a picture and just say, you know, tell me what you feel about this person. So then I did it and I submitted, you just submit it like a comment to a post. And the person wrote back and just said, you know, all of that resonates, I can take it. And so when I received that validation, I said, okay, I can actually do this. I'm going to start to practice with, I say real people, but practice with like people over, you know, like Zoom call or something like that, face to face, in person with actual sitters, friends and friends of friends who were so gracious to let me practice with them. And I, you know, the validation rate was so much higher than the not being able to take something, right? That it gave me the confidence that I needed to say, okay, I'm actually onto something. I am connecting to spirit. And it's not scary at all. It's just like how I see my guides or when I see the words pop in my head. It's all very much through like the same channel. So I'm very grateful for my experiences to mediumship because it's allowed me to continue to do it to this day.
That's incredible. So the other side was super scary because it was my grandmother coming through when I was on my near-death experience. And after that, it opened everything up. And so after, it's interesting that you say dreams because now I feel like it's right in between space where I get the most profound messages that then I can really channel in as I'm awake and kind of lean into. But it's like the meat of it is always given to me right at that time. So I totally resonate with that.
Yeah,
that theta state is powerful.
Yeah, some of my most profound interactions with spirit is during that state, and the most profound that keeps popping out to me was actually with our family pet, where I was actually petting his fur. I was hearing him pant. I felt the warmth of his breath. He ran off and I said, Dusty, come back. And he like went through the wall and turned back around. It was like very profound. Like I remember all of it. Yeah. It was crazy. And it was in that state. Yeah.
Ooh. And did you feel so full afterwards?
So full. I was really excited to tell my mom, who's very open to the stuff too. Well, both my parents are, and my sister as well. And very excited to tell my family, but at the same time, like, no, like I didn't want it to end.
You're like, I'll just be here.
Come back. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's so hard. How cool that he, she?
He, yeah.
He came to visit.
I know. So
it's
sweet.
Like, I miss you. They do.
I know. They totally do. It's like no change for them. He mm-hmm. was going to go off and continue playing, but he came to say hi. It was so sweet.
Oh, I love that. So I really think it's cool to give the audience something that is going to fire them up on their own healing journey as they leave the podcast. And so I do something called a top three for your toolbox. And so it's three practical things that they can start implementing right away after they get off this show to just fire up and be inspired. So whether channel ride or how to meditate or whatever you feel called to and you get downloaded with, can we share those?
Oh, 100%. So right away, what comes to me are the things that helped me at the beginning of my journey to connecting with guides, which then can translate into any entities on the other side that anybody wants to connect with. So one being channel writing, of course. Channel writing is not something that has to be scary. It doesn't have to be a crazy ritual. You don't have to light a candle, do it at midnight, nothing like that. Just I'm all about simplicity and realistic time, like as far as busy lives. So I just, you know, you just write down a question and you just respond to that question, but without your own words. Like, don't even think about it. Just whatever comes to you, just write or draw, you know, whatever feels good to you. So I would recommend easing into channel writing. I think that that's a fantastic way to get the brain ready to go. Even more important than channel writing, though, I would say is meditation. If you don't meditate already, and meditation does not have to be sitting in silence. It's just any form of activity that gets your brain in the zone, whether it's drawing, crafting, walking, running, you know, whatever the case may be, it gets your brain in the zone. And the zone meaning it brings you to the present and it just kind of quiets all the chatter, because that learning to quiet the chatter is sort of what opens up that portal of communication between you and the other side. So those would be the first two things that I would suggest. And then one easy one is just asking if you want to meet your spirit guide in a dream, you just ask that they visit you in your dream and that you remember that dream, and then you just may have to wait. So it may not be quite as instant as the other ones. I know it took me about 2 weeks before my guide came to visit me in my dreams, but it did happen eventually. So that would be the third thing that I would recommend if you are interested in meeting and connecting with your own spirit guides or any entities on the other side for that matter.
Oh, thank you so much. Those are good ones.
Of course.
Now to start doing them. So
yeah.
Where can we get it? And then where can we connect with you, find you, all the things? If there's questions afterwards, are you open to answering them? What's your hub?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my book is available on Amazon. It is called Guided. And it's so funny, Courtney, because on the cover, there are these little lights that are breadcrumbs onto a path.
Stop it! I
yes,
really didn't know that before the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I talk a lot about breadcrumbs in the book. So what a great way to tie it all in. But it's basically, you know, my way of sharing what my journey has looked like to help someone else who's going through their journey, just to be sort of a guide, a helping hand, share what I learned at the beginning. Because for one thing, for example, crystals, like there are so many crystals out there. They do multiple things and it was very overwhelming. So I share like what crystals I liked and what worked for me and what I used them for, blah, blah, blah. So I share about my journey and I kind of go a bit deeper into some of the things that the reader can do to help them either connect with spirit or to get along on their spiritual journey as well. And then I have a link tree for everything. So it's just a linktr.ee/guided west. And that's how anyone can find all the good stuff.
Cool. And I'll link everything in the show notes too for you guys. Well, thank you much, Laura, for just sharing your wisdom today and all that you're doing. I just, oh, so much goodness. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm so excited I got to share with your listeners. So thank you.
Yes, we will connect so soon.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sweetest Little Life today. I hope you walk away feeling inspired, feeling a little bit more lighter, a little bit more free than what you were before you hit that play button. As always, please, sharing is caring. We love to hear your thoughts. We love to get feedback, guest recommendations, all the things. And if you're not subscribed, hit that little subscribe button before you leave today. And until next time, we will be hanging out soon.